Coming up this hour of the show, we'll go to Boston a couple of times. We'll check in with Gary Tanguay of Comcast Sportsnet New England at about 5:30. But first, let's kick things off by welcoming aboard the voice of the Boston Red Sox, Dave O'Brien. Nice to have you with us this afternoon.
Rich, great to be with you. Hope everything is well in Bangor.
Absolutely. Now, I understand, and we heard it on the broadcast on Sunday, that you're going to spend part of your break in the state of Maine.
We are indeed. My brother, Chris, who is from California, lives in Manhattan Beach, but grew up in New England as I did. We're both great Civil War nuts and love to visit Civil War sites. And we're going to take a day and we're going to drive up and visit the home and museum of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, the great Civil War Union hero. So that's going to be part of our day. On the way back, we're going to grab a Maine lobster. We're going to contribute to the great state of Maine economy and enjoy a wonderful day off.
That sounds great. Now, you get a kick out of this. I have, because in my full-time gig, I teach history and civics, and I have a photocopied version, but it's still very nice, of Joshua Chamberlain's after-action report from Gettysburg written in his own hand.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I would love to take a look at that, because as you know, there was some controversy about, you know, who ordered the bayonet charge. And whether it was actually him or one of his underlings, that would be fascinating to read.
Yeah, it's very cool stuff. But let's talk about baseball here this afternoon as we hit the All-Star break. We could focus on the struggles, the up-and-down nature of this first half of the season. But let's look at some of the positives, and I would think that would start with the play of some of the young guys on this team.
Well, Xander Bogaerts in particular has been terrific. He, I thought, played well enough to be an All-Star. Whether or not he was elected or selected is beside the point, I think. You know, to do what he's done, to go from being shifted to third base not that long ago to becoming, I think, a very good major league shortstop. I wouldn't put him in the top tier, but maybe in that second level. But the offense is where that kid really has shined. And hitting over 300, I think he's going to hit for power. He's one of the best two or three in the American League with runners in scoring position. Mookie Betts has been very, very solid in center field. I consider Brock Holt a young guy, certainly in terms of experience, and for him to go to the All-Star game as a utility player, that says two things. That says a lot about Brock Holt. It also tells you a little bit about the season the Red Sox have had so far, in that a utility man is the All-Star going to Cincinnati.
Well, the pitching has certainly been a struggle all season long. There have been some bright spots along the way. Certainly Eduardo Rodriguez has been a pleasant surprise for this team, but going forward, you feel like they've got to do something with that rotation to be able to contend.
I agree, Rich. And I've said all season long what the Red Sox needed was an ace type, a number one type, a Johnny Lester, or a Max Scherzer, somebody like that, not necessarily just to stop losing skids, but to start winning streaks and to be that guy on a Wednesday night when everybody's energy might be dragging a bit and you're on the road in Houston or someplace, who has the ball and says, look, the bullpen has the night off. I'm going nine tonight. I'm going to give you a great performance because that's what I'm supposed to do. The Red Sox really don't have anybody with that kind of personality type or, frankly, the stuff to do that. And I think it's been a major issue with this pitching staff. I thought if the club could be somewhat competitive in the middle of the pack as far as pitching, you know, ranked seventh or eighth in ERA, the offense would be able to overcome that. But the Red Sox have been at the bottom of the American League all season long in ERA, and I've never seen a team be competitive with those kind of numbers. It's not possible.
Yeah, and the other number that's disheartening, even though they're only 6.5 out, is that run differential, which is pretty surprising given the fact that we thought this team would score a lot of runs this year.
Yeah, I thought they would. I thought they'd score better. The offense has improved in the last few weeks, and the Sox have gone on this nice run to, you know, at one point, you know, get within 5.5 games of the Yankees. But I think that it hasn't been consistent enough. Hanley Ramirez got off to a great start in April and then disappeared in the month of May. Dustin Pedroia has been out the last few weeks with an injury. David Ortiz has not hit as far as average and consistency the way you would expect. His power numbers have been okay. But there's just too much inconsistency, too much up and down with this offense to rely on it, because if you're going to have that kind of a team where you're going to score 6 or 7 runs a game, you can make up for a lot of the sins of your pitching staff, but this team hasn't been able to do that.
We're talking with Dave O'Brien, the voice of the Boston Red Sox. You got to see the Yankees up close and personal over the weekend. Are they head and shoulders better than the rest of the American League East?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think anybody's head and shoulders above anybody, and that's what gives the Red Sox a little bit of hope about, you know, these last 73 games beginning Friday in Anaheim. What the Yankees have that the Red Sox don't have is a very, very good bullpen. And the back end of their bullpen might be the best in baseball. It's certainly right there with the Kansas City Royals when you're talking about Betances and now Miller, who's back in the fold. When you have three or four or five guys on a staff who throw 98 to 99, you're probably going to have a really good pitching staff, or at least a competitive one. They've been able to do that. And, you know, their older players have been a surprise. Teixeira with 22 home runs, A-Rod having the season that he's having, and then Gardner's an all-star. Ellsbury's back. We know what Jacoby can do. The top of their order is very tough. They are better than everybody else. You're right about that. I think the Yankees are better than the Red Sox. They're better than the Orioles, Toronto, Tampa. They're better than the rest of the division. But I can't say it's head and shoulders. And I think if they have one significant pitching injury or one of those all-stars in the middle of the batting order falls out, I think they can be caught, absolutely.
We're just a couple of weeks away from the trade deadline, and it's changed a little bit. It's not as black and white as teams being buyers or sellers, and the Red Sox seem to be in that middle ground where they'd like to improve themselves, but not at the expense of giving away some of their top prospects.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's not going to be Xander Bogaerts for X and Y. It's not going to be a Mookie Betts or a Blake Swihart for... Now, if you were to say, look, Johnny Cueto is available. The Sox have now pulled within 3.5 games of the Yankees. Here we are in late July or right at the trade deadline. Would one or two of those players be talked about? Absolutely. And maybe they do deal a Blake Swihart. And maybe, just maybe, they deal a Mookie Betts. But I would doubt that. I think they want to hang on and build. And I think what the Red Sox are targeting now are young pitchers who are within their control, who are under contract, well under the age of 30, that might be able to help them. And if you're looking at those guys, it's people like a Sonny Gray in Oakland, you know, who they would target and say, look, we would give up a lot to get that guy because he'll be under control and won't break the bank in the next couple of years, because eventually he is going to break the bank. He's a great young pitcher.
It has to be tough, Dave, because you get to know these guys quite well, traveling with them to watch a guy who seems to be, from a distance at least, a pretty good guy like Mike Napoli go through the struggles that he's experiencing this year.
It is. It's tough because, you know, especially Mike, who was such an integral part of the 13 team and that World Series. And, yeah, you do get to know them, Rich, and you get to be around them and you get to understand their sense of humor. Like, Mike's a very funny guy. I don't think most people realize it because he's exceptionally quiet and he doesn't like to be quoted. And he's not one of those guys who, you know, says, look at me, I'm in the spotlight. But, you know, in 13, I'll never forget the home run he hit on Verlander in Detroit. I'll never forget a lot of the big plays he made. That Mike Napoli has not shown up this year. I don't know if he's done. I don't know if what we're seeing is the result of his sleep apnea having been corrected, and maybe that surgery affected vision or it affected how he sees the baseball. I don't know. But this guy's an imposter, what we've seen. I mean, Mike Napoli hitting a .190 with very little power except for 1 week and playing, quite frankly, a very disappointing first base. Mike made himself an excellent Gold Glove caliber first baseman. What we're seeing this year is a guy dropping pop-ups and, you know, balls rifling right between the legs. I think it's probably been enough time to determine that Mike Napoli is not going to help the Red Sox, and Brock Holt has to play first base every day.
All-Star game tonight. Brock, of course, the only Red Sox representative there, but a great night to showcase the game. And we were talking in the break a few minutes ago about the incredible number of young guys, 25 and under, who are so talented. Is this maybe the best young talent you've seen all at once in the game in a while?
Boy, it's close. I mean, I can't remember a year. Maybe if you go back to when Jeter and A-Rod and Nomar were vying for that title of who's the best shortstop in baseball, you know, when they were all in their low and mid-20s. But it's such, I mean, Mike Trout's the best player alive right now, but Bryce Harper's getting pretty close. And you're right, there are so many good young players today in baseball. And I think part of it is because they hit the ground running. When they're drafted, they have already played so much high-level baseball. And then you're talking about the guys coming out of college who are, you know, 22 years old, and have played at the highest levels collegiately, and they are ready. They're prepared. They're mature. They're ready to go, and I think that's made the biggest difference.
Well, Dave, great talking with you. As always, enjoy your break, and especially enjoy your time in Maine.
Can't wait to get there. Thanks, Rich. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Dave O'Brien, voice of the Boston Red Sox. They get back into action on Friday, and you can hear all the games right here on your Red Sox station, The Pulse, AM 620 WZON.